Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. Alrighty. I'm going to have you, can you come in just a little bit, or I can scoot in? Just say your name and start off with I'm and what you do.
I'm Lee Tonouchi. I teach at KCC.
And what else do you do?
I write books.
Where are we right now?
We're at KCC inside my classroom.
What is that? What does KCC stand for?
Kapi'olani Community College.
Okay. So can you say your name and where we're at right now, the whole name, and what city?
This is Lee Tonouchi. We're at KCC, Kapi'olani Community College in Honolulu.
You sounded like you should be a radio announcer at 104.5. Okay. So what kind of books do you write?
I get a collection of short stories in Pidgin. I have a book of Pidgin essays. Pretty much all my stuff is in Pidgin.
Why?
Why? Because that's how I talk. Because that's my native language. That's the language I choose for express myself.
And when did you start writing in Pidgin?
It was a little bit funny, because I never started writing in Pidgin until I went to college. Throughout high school, I never seen Pidgin literature. So it wasn't until I went to UH Manoa, then it was my sophomore literature class. The teacher was using one poem, Yatutu on the Curb. I was like, wow, bro, get guys writing in Pidgin. So we studying them in college, bro. I got to be smart for learning Pidgin. I was blown away. I was like, wow. So I figured, oh, I can write too, I think, then. But prior to that, I never dreamed I could ever write.
So I guess tell me some of the books that you've published.
I have a collection of short stories. It's called The Word. Yeah, that's from Bamboo Ridge Press. On collection of Pidgin essays called Living Pidgin, Contemplations on Pidgin Culture from Tinfish Press. I'm the co-editor of Hybolics Magazine.
And why do you, I know that you started in college, but why do you write in Pidgin? Because you probably, I would assume you know how to write in standard English too.
I would hope so. I get my master's in English, yeah. But pretty much all when you're growing up, people tell you, oh, if you do this in Pidgin, then, you know, where can you go? People always tell you, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. But then if you think about it, how much of those people actually try doing stuff, right? They say, oh, you know, the perception is the Pidgin talker is going to be perceived as being less intelligent than the standard English talker. So what can you do then? Basically, options is you can change yourself, right? Or you can change the perception, yeah? So I guess I opted for doing the second way, which is a little bit more harder. But when I was in college, after I discovered that guys writing in Pidgin, I said, hey, okay, I can do this Pidgin creative writing. After I did the Pidgin creative writing, I'm all like, well, how come I can't do since I can do my creative stuff, how come I can't do like my critical stuff too? Right, we should go try see what the teacher does, huh? So I started doing that. Eventually, I did my 30-page research papers in Pidgin. I did my master's thesis in Pidgin, yeah?
And what did your professors think?
For me, I was a little bit smart. Like, I did like my research beforehand, so I only took classes from like the cool professors, yeah? So I'm sure I'm going to have some professors that wouldn't have flown very well, yeah.
So you knew who you were writing for?
kind of, yeah. You just ask around, like, who's cool, huh? Yeah.
Okay. So why is it important for you to write in Pidgin?
It's not similar to the question you already went asked.
But there must be a reason, you know, beyond that you want to. Why? Why do it?
I guess hopefully for maybe inspire other people too. If they see, hey, get somebody else doing it, hey, maybe I can do that too. Yeah, just like how for me, I was inspired by the poem, yeah, Tutu on the Curb. Yeah. Basically, pretty much, I try to do all my stuff in Pidgin, yeah? So people ask me, write them letters of recommendation. I tell them, bro, you asked me, you're going to be in Pidgin, but if you like chansong, we chansong. Pretty much, almost everybody who I wrote scholarship letter or job recommendation letter, they either got the job or got the scholarship. But that's not thanks. I don't want to say it's all thanks to my letter, but, you know. I think pretty much people are very accepting of Pidgin, but people are very scared for bust them out because they think that the other guy is going to reject them, yeah?
When you teach, do you have kids write in Pidgin?
a lot of them already write in pidgin, but they don't know they write in pidgin. But most of them, by the time they get to the college level, they're already trained that they're supposed to lose the pidgin. In fact, I had one student one time, she went come to my English 100 class, and then she's all crying. I seen her sitting outside the classroom crying, and she's all teary. So I asked her, "Oh, what's wrong?" She goes, "Oh, I thought you know, someone else was supposed to be the teacher." I go, "Why? How come? What's wrong with me?" She goes, "Oh, I don't know. You're the pidgin gorilla. I heard that a few teachers said that you're gonna make us write everything in pidgin." Yeah, and then she said she was trying to lose the pidgin, right? Because her mom said, you know, she's not supposed to talk pidgin anymore. And then, she was in my class, but I was the last teacher she wanted. And this is a little bit like ironic to me, because she had like a TNC t-shirt that said like Garen's Barbarians on top. Yeah? So she kind of had, that pidgin pride and pidgin shame, like, all in conflict. Yeah?
Yeah. Can you talk more about the pidgin pride, pidgin shame?
Well, she had the pidgin shirt, so it's not, she was proud of pidgin, but yet she's a little bit shame, right? Because the mom was saying, you're supposed to lose the pidgin. Pretty much all through school, you train not supposed to bust out the pidgin if you're in the classroom, yeah? I remember when I was going to school, if you tell the teacher, "Oh, teacher, can go bathroom," she don't let you go bathroom, right? You gotta hold your shishi, yeah? It's like you have to say, "May I please use the restroom," and then you can go do your business, huh? Yeah.
Is pidgin gonna be more and more, prevalent in Hawaii?
Okay, what's interesting to me is a lot of the people who teach here too, like they tell me, "Oh, I don't really hear pidgin as much. I think pidgin is dying." Yeah, but I tell them, "Bruh, college is not the best place to assess the vitality of pidgin, because by the time they come college, they're already trained. They're not supposed to bust them out, and actually, they're gonna be less inclined for bust them out if you don't bust them out. So, just because you don't hear pidgin where we work doesn't mean it's dying, yeah? Because I remember one time I was on the radio, and then this lady calls up. She says, "Same thing, she doesn't hear a pidgin. Where is this pidgin?" Yeah, so I told her, "Bro, how can you not hear pigeons? Like, where are you cruise?" Then she's all like, "Excuse me?" Yeah, so I'm thinking, that day I was all bothered. So after I left like the radio studio, just walking on the sidewalk in Kaimuki, just cruising at the shopping center, I hear lots of pigeon. So I'm thinking, how can people not hear pigeon? I don't know.
Well, there's something like 600,000 people here who speak pigeon.
Yeah, but how can you avoid all of them?
Are you working on any future works, books, or anything?
I get one collection of poetry right now, yeah? That's the one I'm doing now. It's called Significant Moments in the Life of Oriental Father and Son. That's the one I'm going to be sharing with you guys later on. I just came out with my pidgin play this past few months ago.
What's that called?
It's called Gone Fishing. Yeah? That was all in pidgin, too.
Is that going to be done here?
Down Power, yeah? Came out in April or May.
Oh, East West Players is supposed to be doing a reading, isn't it? Didn't I read that somewhere?
Oh, for real? I don't know. Maybe you know more than me. I don't know. Well, yeah?
Maybe I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I thought that was okay. Well, you should send it to East West Players. Should we let the kids in, do you think? Or?
Yeah, I can let them wait outside. They're happy not to come inside.
Oh, okay. what about... when was the first time you realized you were speaking pidgin?
Okay, this is the one that comes out in the story that I was going to share. Like, would you rather me share a little bit of the story?
No, just tell me a little bit about that.
I guess sometime maybe like back in the fourth grade, I was just talking to this girl and I said, and I was like, "Bombay," and then she never understand Bombay. So I said, "How can you not know Bombay?" So I made her a bet. She said, "That's not a word." I go, "It is a word." So we look them up in the dictionary. I said, "Aye, no more Bombay." So I was all distraught. I lost the bet. So I went home and go ask my dad, "Dad, how come no more Bombay in the dictionary?" And that's when he explained to me, Bombay is pidgin. Yeah. Up to then, I didn't know. There's a difference, right? Pidgin, English. That's just how we talk, whatever. So. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to wait until you're reading, and maybe, do you mind?
husband's name? What is your husband's
Richard?
Name?
Yeah, he's just going to go for a walk.
Oh, okay. I was going to introduce him too.
That's all right.
Okay, I don't have to introduce
him. He's shy.
Oh, okay. Special radio documentary people, yeah? So this is D-May, this is Jennifer, yeah? So,
hi.
You want Mr. Ferdu, like a little poetry reading for you guys, yeah? So that's what I'm gonna be doing. They're also gonna be asking you guys questions too, maybe, yeah? So, you guys feel like answering, you can answer. Yeah? You guys might get to be part of the radio documentary, yeah? Wow, exciting, yeah? Wow, okay. You guys all get paper 5, right? Your first draft, yeah? You did. Before I forget,
no.
I think, make sure you take that out. Make sure you staple.
It's 2 pages, you know?
All right.
I couldn't make it to 5. I
couldn't
make it to 3. I'm still saying
it.
Okay.
But you can give me feedback. 4 pages, I'm going to have like a happier face, right? And 2 pages might get, you know. It's not, you know, but it's the quality of those pages, right? No? Okay. On the back, can you guys write your outline, right? I approved your outline Monday. Can you copy the outline for me so I have your outline too? Yeah. Okay. And then just pass it up. Real quick, just write the 4 sentences.
Right. And
4 sentences.
Well, it should be already on your paper, right?
That's on. No, actually.
You didn't use the outline.
It.
Huh? No, but I just want the 4 sentences on your thesis and the 3 main points, right? I just want those 4 sentences.
I don't know what they are anymore.
But you should still be on that paper.
No
more. Yeah, you can just pass them up.
Okay.
Real active.
He's waiting for Corey, he's waiting for Abby, that's it.
So when he's ready to read and stuff. I think I've got enough in him.
Okay. And so how close should I be when he's actually reading?
Oh, about that close. Yeah. Okay. You might need to like scoot in. Okay. I'm gonna take some pictures. He's doing a picture of you. I need a picture of you anyway. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right.
If you have sources, can you get like a magazine source online? Is that the same thing as just a magazine source?
Does
that work as a magazine source?
Like timemagazine.com.
Or someone can
actually do it. As long as it's like a reputable. Okay. Okay, heads up. You guys gonna be on that radio, so gotta make sure you pay attention. Okay.
Can I explain a little bit about what this is?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
All right. I'm doing a series called Crossing the East. It's for National Public Radio, and Hawaii Public Radio runs NPR programs. And it's 8 1-hours, and it starts with the Bering Straits, and it goes all the way to post 9/11 America. And we're just.
Okay. I figure this is a good one for kick off the discussion, huh? This one is, oh, this is microphone right here, huh? Okay. This is a group poem that my fall 2001 pre-college communication classes at KCC, we kind of made together, huh? This one, I want to ask them, make a list of all the things people told you over the years you cannot do if you talk pidgin. Yeah, so each made their list. Then we went put together all their lists, yeah, and we came up with this group poem. Okay? The poem is called, they say, if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Be smart. Be important. Be successful. Be professional. Be taken seriously. Be one teacher. Be one doctor. Be one lawyer. Be a government worker. Be a big businessman. Be the Pope. Be the president. Be the wife of the president. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Communicate. Eat at fine dining restaurants. Enter a beauty pageant and win. Flirt. Function. Go out tonight. Go to job interviews. Go mainland. Go mainland school. Go opera or someplace elegant. Go forward. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Get good grades. Get a good education. Get good job. Get a smart guy. Get a sophisticated guy. Get chicks. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Give public speeches. Join the military. Look high class. Make it in Hollywood. Pray to God. Read. Run for governor. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Score. Sound intellectual. Survive. Talk straight. Talk proper. Talk to the phone operator. Talk to the judge. Talk at funerals. Talk to the Howleys. Talk to tourists. Talk in European countries. Talk in the classroom. Take tests. Teach and understand. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Work customer service. Work at Neiman Marcus. Write a proper sentence. Write letters. Write formal essays. Write papers to pass this class. They say if you talk pidgin, you know, can. Okay. I guess now is when Dime can go bust out some questions and ask the students stuff or no.
Is that true, what he just read?
No.
Can you tell me why and wait for Jenner? Is that okay if we record you?
Okay.
If it's not, that's okay.
Oh, no, it's just... Okay. Well, one of the things he read, like, you cannot work at a professional place or in customer service. Well, I work at a professional place, which is Nike Town, and it's very professional. And I got the job there, and I work with customers, and I'm making big sales, you know? So, and I talk pidgin, too, once in a while. It's not something that can take something away from you. It's a plus, actually, because... a lot of people on the mainland and other places can't talk it, but we can, and we can do other things that they can also. So it's just a plus.
Yeah, so the way you look at it is that you're like multilingual, huh?
Yes.
Also, so when you was growing up, like your parents always like said, oh, Lena, oh, you know, you should be proud, you know, you're multilingual, yeah?
Well, no, they didn't say that, because it's they don't think of it as another language, actually, but some other people do. But it's just something that comes natural when you grow up here.
So for you, like, you was always proud of the pidgin, or had some point in time when you was like a little bit shame?
There were times where I got shame because say if a guy was gonna check you out, I wouldn't.
Oh, hold on a second, I'm sorry. Wait for Yabba Dabba. Bye bye.
Some guys would kind of degrade you or like put you down if you talk like, oh, bro, what's your number? You know, it's more like, oh, hi, can I get your number? You know, you use it in different places. I don't know.
Did you grow up speaking pidgin at home, or I mean, is it something you learn with the family? Where do you learn it? How?
You learn it in Hawaii. You learn it everywhere you go. Especially at home, though. Yeah.
No matter where we go, I get noise.
I know. Anybody else agree with what he read about what you can and can't do with pidgin? Off the record? Okay. You had something, didn't you? What's your name?
You don't want to use your name?
That's okay.
Use
no.
Your name. That's okay. So
I was just real curious, how many people here speak pidgin? Does everybody? Or know how to speak pidgin? Or has anybody heard pidgin? Come on, only two people. You know, I read that 600,000 people. How many people are there in Hawaii?
I don't know.
No, 1 million.
A lot.
Huh?
A lot.
1 million?
It's like almost.
Yeah.
It's like 900,000.
900,000? 600,000 speak pidgin. Yeah.
So many people in Hawaii are doing that learning ways.
So, yeah, okay. All right. Do you want to read something else? Maybe a poem?
Teacher tell, I never gonna count, never gonna amount to anything or work. Keep doing that pigeon thing, it's just gonna hurt my chances for the future. When will you learn? When will you learn? How will you compete? How will you get ahead, you fool? Try get into medical school with that pigeon thing that you do. Teacher tell all the rhetoric she was told, never questioning if it was true. Cause then she might realize, eh, sometimes she talk pigeon too. She's not one boozer, one loser, one general overall. Okay, I gotta do one more time now.
You say take two.
Okay. Okay, sorry. I'm not used to having the microphone in that.
Close your eyes.
Close my eyes. Oh, but then I kinda see you guys might be all making faces at me, no. Okay. Teacher tell, never gonna count, never gonna amount to anything at work. Keep doing that pigeon thing, it's just gonna hurt my chances for the future. When will you learn? When will you learn? How will you compete? How will you get ahead, you fool? Try get into medical school with that pigeon thing that you do. Teacher tell all the rhetoric she was told, never questioning if it was true. Cause then she might realize, hey, sometimes she talk pigeon too. She's not one boozer, one abuser, or in general overall loser. Cause plenty of people who talk the kind, get the brains and the ambitions, and then get some who stare at government state politicians. I just gotta say, Ben is the bomb. So when teacher tell, pigeon is for the birds, I tell teacher, hey, you gotta get with the word. Pigeon is fly, it's dope. Today we get role models who give us hope. Pigeon is the language that we breathe, the words that we sing. So how can there be life without that pigeon thing?
Did you guys understand what you said? So you have
are you guys ashamed to? You guys don't like raise your hand? only one person heard pigeon. Aye, how come?
Okay, what'd you think of that? Can you hear pigeon rap here? Is there pigeon rap? Anywhere? Anybody, any music groups here? We're gonna do a performance too.
Oh, anytime.
See what happens? You come make A at today, aye.
Nope.
No?
Now you have to read something. Can you hear pigeon on the radio?
Yeah.
Any stations? Like what stations?
98.5. 98.5? Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. You should try to ask Michael about pigeon because he works in one school, huh? So maybe he knows about pigeon in school.
Oh, at the school that I work at?
Oh, hold on a second.
Is it okay?
Is it okay to record? We're doing a thing for NPR for a series called Crossing East that we're producing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How much do I get? Okay. Well, the school that I teach at, I wouldn't say pidgin is as prevalent as it is in some of the other elementary schools. I guess because the it's a charter school, and I guess a lot of the parents who want their children to go to this particular charter school come from families where they speak well. And kind of, I've taught at other schools before, and the kids are pretty heavy in pidgin except for this one, Wailai. And we get kids from Kalihi, Waimanalo, Hawaikai, all different areas. So I wouldn't say, it depends on the environment. Yeah, you know.
Do kids quit speaking pidgin after a certain time? Well, like in public, you know?
I think it depends on the environment and the atmosphere that you're in, and depends on the friends and people that you hang out with.
Okay.
Is pidgin something you just speak with among friends and family, but not really in school?
I would say so. Yeah. There's been times that I've visited the mainland and I have local friends up there who speak well. You know, they can communicate well with the mainland people. But when we get together just to speak in code, we talk pidgin and freak them out.
So when you say speaking code, like you mean use that to talk stink to people that don't know pidgin?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
like we played Monopoly with some Haole people up in California. And I guess this one guy, as soon as he landed on a particular spot, he was already buying the property. So of course I was like, oh, how's the brother over here? Like, scoop up the aina. And he and I, my friend and I kind of connected and we just busting out laughing. And the guy was clueless. So that's code.
Did anybody else speak code? With friends and stuff? Oh, I don't believe you.
Corey, they talk about
Kauai
pidgin.
Is there different kinds of pidgin?
Come on, Corey, is it Kauai represent, right? Look, they're going Maui tomorrow, but they're not going to go Kauai. So pretty much, you is Kauai.
Does every island have its own pidgin?
I would say there's different dialects from different places. I mean, you know, like the people in Waimanalo speak differently compared to the people who live in Kaneohe and Waianae. You know, like the people in Maui, they all sound like Portuguese pidgins. I mean, pidgin Portuguese. You know, they have a different, what do you call it, regional dialect.
For Maui, everything is all exaggerated. Everything is, some long, everything, some this, some that.
And then on the big island, it's, bro, choke this and choke that. And. You know, and I think that the term choke come from the island of Hawaii.
So Kauai, for Kauai, what gets special about Kauai for Kauai pidgin? You know, I figure, you know, maybe you don't know because for you it's just regular, right? It's just growing up on Kauai, but now that you move here, I'm sure that you notice get some differences, huh? No? No.
What do you guys think of his work?
I was hoping to get you guys for talk today.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it awful?
I like it.
Okay. Well, you have to say yes, huh?
You guys like it because then you guys don't have to do real work yet today.
Yeah.
You're doing the work now.
Yeah, I know.
He's a performer. Did you know he's a performer?
Yeah,
he has a book out. Yeah,
couple books. Okay, this one is called Significant Moments in the Life of Oriental Father and Son. Birth. I would like to think he start off with one yosh. Or if he was feeling particularly peppy, maybe one unbridled, one unrestrained yosh. To demonstrate his virility. Because I know Moriento Fara, he's not a man of many words, of much emotion. He probably may do with grunt. Just one grunt. For send a message, he done true. Oh, pow. Time to go sleep now. So all I can imagine Moriento Fara saying when him and mama was trying to conceive me. He just not the type for say. Oh yeah, work it baby, work it. Come on down, let's get funky like a monkey. Nope, just one. Puberty. For my 13th birthday, my Oriental father gave me my long-awaited Cosby Show talk about the birds and the bees. I know if the cause didn't, it would probably take forever and a day, because whenever the cause talks, it's always so drawn out. Son, a long time ago, the birds and bees hooked up. So that is why the stork took over for them. Okay, I know my Oriental father could never sustain one speech for that long, so I was anticipating something a little bit more concise, but not something that would take only 2.2 seconds. All he did was hand me one black TNC t-shirt with one smiley face balloon character and fluorescent yellow letters that said, "No glove, no love." That's it, no explanation. Not even one hint that we was talking metaphor. college. After I graduate high school, my uncle father wanted me to go to Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, and Yale. He never know where those places was, just that's where I have to go. So I went, UC Irvine. That's when I discovered that my uncle father wasn't really my Oriental father. He was my Asian American father. They said I can have an Oriental rug or some Oriental furniture, but I cannot have an Oriental father. Oriental is a term used for the kind inanimate objects, eh? That's all they told me. So I told them, my Oriental father, he hardly says anything. That's kind of like being an inanimate object, yeah? Oh, what you think? When I said that, their faces would just freeze. They couldn't believe I said something as disrespectful as that. Asian American, that's why. Marriage. I came back home with one girlfriend, fiance actually, who was one katonk. Only she never knew she was one katonk. She probably more used to the term banana. Either way, my Oriental father was happy. Katonk, banana, Twinkie. So long as Oriental, he said. Asian American, she corrected. Just for fun, I took her to one Frank de Lima show at the Polynesian Palace. But she never laughed. Not even one chuckle of what she called the blatant stereotyping and racist ethnic portrayals. Oh, so I started playing around, bro, after the show. Started telling all my friends, hey, what's up, Oriental? Who you, freaking Oriental? Bruh, your mama, she's so Oriental. I bet you cannot see her chopsticks unless you turn them sideways. I figure I would take back the term. If Popolo people can use the N-word, how come I cannot use the one that starts with O? Empowering like that. She thought I was nuts, out of my freaking mind. So she got back on her plane and left. Looking in the air, all I could think was, what, Lucille, you gonna leave me now? Even though Lucille wasn't even her name. Death. Right before my Oriental father died, suddenly he had planning for say. No watch Kingpin the movie junk. English patient more better was, but not as good as the book. Oh, that shocked the hell out of me. Never know he read movies, let alone read books. I thought he just stayed home, watched the kind of Rambo so good on Kiku, and drank the kind of green tea out of that. But now he is giving me the lowdown on all the latest movies. I told him, oh, I could just picture him on TV, bruh. At the movies with Roger Ebert and my Oriental father. And people would ask, oh, which one is Ebert? It's like, duh, the one that's not Oriental. He laughed a little bit and he coughed and he asked real soft if I thought people would really mix up him and Roger Ebert. So I told him, nah, Roger Ebert, get glasses. That's what I told to my father. The book that's to be published yet.
Yeah, to be published?
Yeah.
It's gonna be your new book.
Yeah, so you guys got a sneak preview, but you guys special, huh? Wow. You can go home now, tell everybody, mom, my teacher said I'm special.
What is the rest of your book like? Are they all short stories?
Oh, I'm gonna share one for you then, since you're interested in pigeon. Now this one is written in like the voice of like an older pigeon talking person, huh? So since you're getting a hard time getting the old pigeon people talk to you, maybe I go share this one, huh? Okay. This one is called Hard Work. It's written in the voice of I guess one older Japanese man, yeah? This one is specifically written in the voice of my grandfather.
Young time, new grandpa, carpenter foreman, you know. State capitol building, you grandpa, build. Meeting place, hard for Macquarie. Not square, 10 point. Honolulu, no monster bear for that. That's why leader Martin from university hire, engineer. He point, I mark, concrete all poor. Following week come, I finish, he glad. Lucky thing I get you, Tyra, he said that, you know. See, you grandpa no go school, nothing. Only 6th grade Japanese school. Boss say, little more English I know us. General foreman can be. That's why you gotta work hard, Bombay boss no like. You finish school, find good work.
Did he say that to you?
Yeah, it was something similar, yeah, to that. I like to know from my students what maybe parents told you guys about how important is English. None of your parents ever stressed the importance of English. As long as you don't go to jail, you guys is good, huh? Huh?
That's what my mom said.
Yeah, that's what your mom said? Wow.
I didn't grow up here, so.
All I heard was get good grades and go to college.
Yeah.
Shy today.
You singled out, sorry.
Singled out, that's why. Go ahead, Gilbert, go ahead.
Nah,
why?
But if you held the mic, would you talk if you held the mic? Go ahead, hold it.
That's okay.
That's all right.
But what the girls, bro? No? The girls hiding in the back. Can I talk about teaching about English? No. I'm pretty shy. Nobody. Can I talk to Jolene? You can talk to Jolene too. I was like, she grew up over here.
Oh, no, I'm a bit shy.
She's shy too. You're
pretty
shy.
Hey, come. You gotta set the example, bro. See, why? Just a little bit, no.
Why are you taping this? You're
because I'm actually doing my dissertation about pigeon and education.
Really? Can I ask you about that just a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you guys all know what she's doing? Yeah? Okay.
I'm gonna sign you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, how should I?
Oh, why don't you just introduce yourself and what you're doing here?
Okay. My name is Jolene Sato, and I grew up here, just down the street actually. And I've been an education student in the mainland. I'm a UCLA student, actually. And I wanted to do my dissertation on pidgin and education because when I was up there, I was doing a lot of stuff with English as a second language people, yeah, and like, bilingual education. And when I was studying the bilingual education stuff and like listening to people's stories about growing up with bilingual education, I heard a lot of parallels to my own experiences and my parents' experiences growing up here with pidgin, and the ways in which that they were told that they weren't going to amount to anything if they didn't speak proper or didn't speak straight. And it reminded me a lot of what the stories I was hearing from my friends and other people I was interviewing who didn't come from a background that was speaking English, lots of Spanish speakers, lots of Chinese speakers, and that. And so it made me really interested to want to come back home and take a look and see what was going on over here. So that's why I'm back here looking at the role that pidgin can play in education.
And what have you found out?
I don't know yet.
Have you just started?
I just started, and I've actually been studying this class, so I haven't had a chance really to sit back and kind of analyze stuff. But
does this class usually talk? No, I'm just kidding. No, but do you really hear a lot of pidgin in this class?
More or less,
yeah.
You know, mostly from him.
Mostly from him. So, what do you hope to find?
One of the things I hope to find, one is like to try and figure out what people think about pidgin, right? And then also the ways in which pidgin helps learning and the ways that people don't think that it can, you know, to see how that can facilitate thinking and writing and academic skills.
Did you grow up with pidgin in the household?
Yeah, my dad speaks pidgin mostly, but my mom doesn't. So that's, and also they made me go private school, so I didn't speak very much at school, and that was really looked down upon when I went to school.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
I can remember especially in seventh grade, I had this one teacher who was my math teacher, and anytime someone said tree, you know, and it comes up a lot in math, yeah? She would write your name on the board, and if you got tree checks by your name on the board, you had to go work in the snack bar and pick up all the trash. And so that was her way of telling us, if you keep on speaking pidgin, this is the only kind of job you can get, so.
What do you mean by tree?
Oh, three.
The
number three, yeah.
You all knew that, huh? Okay. That's my what's wrong with saying tree? Stupid teacher. Wow. So things like that happen, huh? Do they still happen, you think?
I don't know. You can ask.
Does anybody have that kind of thing happen where you were kind of, you know, shamed at all in school? No?
Yeah.
I thought I heard somebody say yes.
But I was probably the same as you. I wouldn't speak.
I was shy, so now I'm coming out of my shell. God, that's all.
Oh, but did you have a thing happen when you were growing up?
I think for myself, how I came out of it was probably living on the mainland. And living in Seattle, and you're kind of forced to communicate, you know, or if you don't, you're just going to be stuck in by yourself.
They probably didn't understand you in Seattle.
Because they probably didn't understand me here, too. I remember times when I was on the swim team, and then some of the girls in the senior girls didn't understand a single word that I said. What you said? And I had a hard time explaining. And then I went to Seattle, and they kind of poked fun at the way you spoke. And they try to make a general comment in saying that Hawaii people like to giggle when they speak, and do they always cut short their sentences. So I kind of made a conscious effort to try to speak a little bit more clearly.
Is there discrimination if you speak pidgin here?
I think so. I mean, not here.
Not here?
I don't think so. Everybody speaks.
Where do you think there's discrimination?
California.
Oh, on the mainland.
Okay, question?
Oh, you don't need to.
Oh, okay.
How is pidgin that much different than, say, for instance, do you think that teachers are just as hard on kids that are, say, for instance, in inner cities that don't actually know how to speak English very well and they have their own little dialects? Or people that live in the South, deep, deep South? Because I know I've heard people talk from the South, but I can't understand a damn thing they're saying. Excuse my language, but Klum is Klein, but you can't understand tons of their words. They make them up themselves. How is that much different than pidgin?
So the question is?
Are they just as hard on kids in those areas, or are they more focused on children here in Hawaii?
Okay.
You can walk. Walk normal. Thank you.
I was telling Dime earlier about how my experience was similar to Jolene's one, right? About how, for me, when I was growing up, if you like go bathroom, you can't tell, hey, teacher, I can go bathroom. She wouldn't let the kids go bathroom, right? You gotta say, may I please use the restroom? And then you can go bathroom. So that's not something that happened for you guys, no. If you say, teacher, can go bathroom, then you can go. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they're better now, huh? Maybe the teachers know more.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
I think maybe sometimes it depends on where you're at. Because I grew up in Palolo, went to Palolo Elementary School, and majority of the kids there, I'd say 98%, is heavy pidgin.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Where is this at? Say that again. Where?
Palolo Elementary.
Is
which
that?
Was a couple valleys away from here. And everybody was thick pidgin, you know, so the teachers had to learn, I'd say.
And you're an elementary teacher now?
Hawaiian studies teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said something about elementary.
Well, I teach at Wildlife School, which is a charter school.
So do you use pidgin too?
Sometimes, but a lot of the students, they're good speakers, actually, you know, and they all sound like howlies.
But is that good? Is that good? To sound like a howlie?
No, for me, I think they're on the right track because they're communicating well, and you know, and if they ever came across a situation where they have to speak and express themselves, they can.
So you kind of have to know both.
Pretty much.
So it is bilingual.
I don't know what do you call it, bilingual?
For Lena, she was saying it's to her advantage, yeah, that she knows more than one language. Yeah? she said it's very helpful to know pidgin for her job. She says it helps her rack up choke sales, she says. Yeah? So for you, you ever see, is there one advantage to knowing pidgin? Is there any circumstance
I think
you think is good?
Depending on situations.
Okay, well, I'm
just tie a mic over here. I think depending on situations, it has its advantages and disadvantages. You know, if you're in a workplace and say if you're working at Kahala Mandarin Hotel and you're servicing guests there, you know, they'd want someone who can speak instead of someone who mumbles and doesn't, you know, they don't understand. So it could be at a disadvantage to you. And advantages are if you're going to go say Waianae or Waimanalo, and you can rap with the people down there. That's an advantage too.
Do we think it's on a sad final? Are we assuming that tourists don't want to hear pidgin? Because when I was teaching like a Hawaii writers class at HPU, I figured, oh, Hawaii writers only gonna get local students gonna sign up for this class, but only maybe had two local students. All the rest was people from elsewhere, and they was all curious about Hawaii culture, about pidgin. And I thought, oh, how are they going to read pidgin, bro? They're going to get a hard time. Initially, it was hard because the spelling's all trippy, like, to them. But they say, you know, they just read it out loud and they could understand, yeah? They could pick it up and they enjoyed that they was learning about pidgin, yeah? So do you think, we're assuming what, that people don't want to know about pidgin, about culture here?
I think the curiosity is, you know, would draw the people to pidgin because a lot of mainlanders, when they hear that, you know, they kind of want to get into speaking slang like us, oh, the kind and this and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, but for us it's natural. It doesn't matter. We're not gonna, you know, it's either here nor there.
So actually, it's to your advantage then that you know a little bit pidgin, because besides you can talk stink when you play Monopoly, maybe you can teach all the people you met when you went to Seattle or whatever. You can teach them, and then when they come here, they can fit right in then.
What does
talk stink
mean?
Talk stink.
Talk about somebody.
Okay. Is that what it is? Like gossiping? Or bad? It's really worse.
No, it's not real bad. It's kind of all in fun, yeah?
It is bad.
Wait, Lena, did you say it was bad?
Oh, no, I assumed that it was a, talk stink was something that you knew what it meant, but I didn't know.
No, I don't know anything.
That was interesting.
I say we say stink eye, or evil eye. No, what is it? It's the same eye. Yeah, stink eye. Yeah.
See, so if you know stink eye, you must know talk stink.
Didn't know talk stink.
Bombay, you learn.
I mean, I gotta learn. Yeah.
Who came up with the word Bombay?
Bombay derives from the English by and by. Yeah?
Is pidgin gonna die?
Nah.
You think? Anybody think
it's gonna
die?
It's
yeah.
In books.
What'd you say?
It's in books.
He's gonna keep it alive too, yeah.
Okay. How's this? Okay, one time I was on top of New Age Today, I had a radio program. This lady calls up because they told me to go take calls. And this lady asked me, I think pidgin is dying. I don't hear pidgin. So I told her, oh, lady, is like, where you cruise? Yeah? And then she said, excuse me? Yeah, so I'm all like, I was a little bit bothered by that. I go, wow, how come she thinks pidgin is dying, bro? So all that day, you know, I was trying to keep my ears open, right? Listening for a pidgin, yeah? Just walking up the sidewalk in Kaimakia, I heard, you know, plenty of people was talking pidgin. I cruise Ala Moana, I was like, oh, lady must not go Ala Moana. Lady must not go Pearl Ridge, must not go beach. Lady must not go, she must not go out of her house, bro. I don't know. I don't know. So for you guys, are you guys hear pidgin a lot? Yeah, no?
Because you don't want to express yourself, but like when you like around your friends, you know, just have fun, talk pidgin.
So the lady must not have friends then.
Yeah.
No.
In high school, I heard it a lot. Like Kaimuki is where all of the people from Hualu come, and sometimes I would look at the Palolo boys, the way that they talk is like, oh, bro, how's this chick? Ah, oh, she's solid. I don't know. I'm like, they sound so stupid, you know? But that's how they grew up talking. And if you go to Kaimuki High School or Nanakuli High School, you're going to hear it all around. Where is that?
have a key, it's right down.
Right down here?
Yeah.
So we just need to go to the high school and sit in the hallway? And...
Yeah. You'll hear it.
So I come over here and that's the thing. A lot of the students, the most of the students are straight out of high school, right? So how come it's different over here?
They're trying to be somebody they're not.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she getting two microphones after.
Or do you think that's like growing up maybe, you know, that you don't speak it when you're in college?
I don't know.
But you said you thought it was trying to be something you're not?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, you grow up talking a certain way with certain people. Like, with my friends, I would use regular English mixed with Pidgin. But now, when I talk to them, it's all, I try to be as perfect, you know, speak perfect English as possible. You know, practicing for the real world or something, you know. I don't know.
I can relate to that. When I do my stories for NPR, I sound completely different. I go, from National Public Radio, this is T-Mae Roberts, you know. So, I do that. I think so. People go, well, that doesn't sound like you. But that's the voice that they want, so that's what I do. You know, when I do those kind of stories. And then when I just talk normal, you know, I just talk normal. But, you know, they want that kind of reporter. So I learned how to do that. So I kind of feel like that's sort of what you're going through is what's your professional voice and, you know, what's your at-home voice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what you're doing or?
Kind of. It was also my brother's fiance, Sheila's Howley. And every time that I would speak, like, come home and tell my brother about my day. Like, oh, this stupid guy is picking on me. I don't know what the other problem is, you know? And then she'd be like, stop talking like that. And da 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 da. I'm like, oh, go up your howly hole, you know? I mean, she, no, because the way she talked to me is like as if she was higher up than me.
Yeah, condescending.
Yeah, and I felt low. And so then I wanted to be like that, you know? I wanted to take a step up. So then I tried to talk like her, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I see her going to those high restaurants, you know, the expensive places, and I'm going to the L&L Old Rock and get the number one, you know. You know.
So I go ask Faraday, what is her impression? And when you first came here, you heard Pidgin, then what was your impression?
Oh, where are you from?
California.
From California?
Well, to me, it was just another dialect, kind of, but it was just people talking with an accent. When I first moved to, I lived in East Oakland for a while, and I couldn't understand a thing people were saying for at least a month or two. And here it took about the same amount. But pretty much everyone speaks regular English, but when you do hear Pidgin, it can be kind of confusing, because there's words that don't really make any sense unless you know what they mean.
You want one to pick a Pidgin
up? Well, not all Pidgin, but I can understand what different pieces mean.
Pidgin youth, some people live there their whole life. It's got to kind of become home.
Any other thoughts about Pidgin? Hey, I appreciate you guys talking. Really cool. I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. The mic and everything. You want to read one last thing?
Okay. Okay, I think I'll use the book yesterday. That way, we only gotta do one take in case, because I wasn't planning on doing this one.
Okay.
Or like try to see if I get them in my head. I can't do them either way.
Anything. I'm gonna see if they can stop doing
it. Tell them. This one goes out to Abby and Hazel over there. It's their favorite one, huh? Okay. It's called The House of Liberty. My girlfriend loves to shop at the Generations Department at Liberty House. Pearl Ridge, Alamona, Kahala Mall, Windward Mall. She even goes to Liberty House in town during her lunch break at work. If you're a frequent shopper, you're bound to take notice of her. She's the one who gets all the sales announcements in the mail before the ad comes out in the paper. seems as if she's always looking forward to the Super Sale, Safari Sale, Rainbow Sale, White Sale, Blue Tag Sale, 1 Day Sale, 12-Hour Sale, 13-Minute 33.5-Second Sale. Who longs to buy expensive, high-quality, name-brand shoes from the LA shoe department where my friend Matt Takamini works? So he could probably give us off, but we end up going to pay less and getting 5 pairs of shoes for $6.99. Which of course gives her a few blisters the next day at school, just walking from the parking structure to Kai Kendo. 2 weeks later, they break and repeat the whole process again. Who buys her makeup from the Clinique counter, but only when they have their free gift offer. Usually a container filled with child sizes of lipstick, mascara, eyeshadow, lotion, and soap, which she just brings home and keeps in her drawer, because usually she doesn't use that much makeup. But still, she likes to go during the special limited times because she wants the free gift, just because it's free. Who dreams of purchasing a Dunia & Burke handbag behind the glass case in the handbag department? One real Dunia & Burke, not that fake $15 kind from the swap meet, because women can tell that sort of thing. Every time we go to the store, we gotta set aside special visiting hours so she can point out to me the exact shade and style she prefers. Finally, I get tired of going all the time, so I get her one for a 1 year anniversary. However, I failed to foresee that I would have to get the matching checkbook, pocketbook, wallet, coin purse, and keychain. What did I start? Who tries on at least one garment from every department? Swimsuits, shirts, blouses, shorts, slacks, even socks must be carefully selected and fitted inside a dressing room while I wait patiently outside, looking desperately for a wall or pillar, something to lean against, so I can rest my weary shopping fatigued body when I attempt to look cool, like I wanna be shopping, like I'm enjoying myself, like I belong by all the bras and panties. Who pays for everything on top of her LA's charge card, and when asked if she wants to defer, she says yes, as if she's a member of the secret sisterhood for the shopping elite. After she signs, me, being the big strong guy that I am, get to carry all the bags from all the separate departments. Luckily, you know, she asked for a shopping bag for her final purchase, so I can put all the other bag in the bigger bag, which I suppose does make my life a little easier. Who lets me look at the Aloha shirts for approximately 2 minutes before she goes, huh? And looks at her watch like she's anxious to go back and buy something she had previously decided she didn't want, but apparently during those extra 2 minutes of ting time had decided that it was some item she can't possibly live without, or at least some item she can always, always return later for full refund, no questions asked, with only the occasional sting eye from the sales girl who recognizes it as being in style 2 or 3 seasons ago. Now this might seem like a lot to endure for a guy my age, spending his most vital years being bag boy to the almighty shopping queen. But seeing her happy is what makes me happy. At least so she says.
Okay. Are there other writers that write in Pidgin?
Yes.
Published writers?
Yes.
Who?
It's like I told you when I was going to school, I never seen Pidgin in writing until college, yeah? I gotta be smart after studying Pidgin, bro. It wasn't until college I seen Pidgin in writing, huh? Was the poem Tutu on the Curb, yeah, that's a poem by the poet Eric Chalk. Darryl Lum, yeah, he's a famous Pidgin writer, although I never know about Darryl Lum until I went to college too, yeah? Lois Ann Yamanaka, yeah, she was just starting to hit her stride around when I was in college.
Will there be more?
Hopefully, if the younger people's don't forget about their Pidgin, huh?
How important is that?
How important
is
that?
For the younger people not to forget the Pidgin.
I think it's important. I don't know about, you should go ask the younger people, is it important? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it isn't important.
Try to go ask the younger people.
Is it important? Do you guys have little brothers and sisters? Anybody? No? Do they speak Pidgin?
Do we like each region for having its own, you know, cultural flair? Or would we rather all have the national radio broadcasting voice and everybody talk like that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Everything will sound dramatic then, huh?
I think we should have regional.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have different.
Diversity.
Yeah, diversity is really important. I mean, every state should sound different, I think. You know?
Sounds different. Sounds what? Sounds different. Yeah. So, Mike, when you was in Seattle, like, you made fun of like the way they talk too. Like, do Seattle people talk funny? No.
They're all white though. White.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
White.
Yeah.
dead white.
Mm-hmm.
So you made fun of their color.
No. I was the minority, so I had to be nice. So it was good though, you know, I got to meet, hang out with black people and white people.
Wait, so the black people were white?
No, the black people was black.
There were a few black people.
Yeah. But Seattle was fun. It was real different from California.
Yeah.
And their whole attitude and everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that I was there was in the 80s, and they're very career oriented. I think the young people were all, what, yuppie kind?
Yeah.
Compared to the people in California. California was laid back and...
Earth.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I mean, like, Northern California and Southern California is different again because I used to live in LA, and the people are not as nice as like the people up in San Francisco. The people up in San Francisco are like totally different. It's like very nice. When you ask them something, they'll immediately come and help you. But in Southern California, you ask like 3 or 4 times. It's like sometimes you still don't get your answer. I'm like, okay.
No, you have a nice voice. You do.
Oh, okay.
You should do radio. No, I'm so sorry. You do, you have a nice voice. Cool. Any last thoughts? I'm going away. I'm leaving. I'm going away. Okay.
Was this the first? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you should visit the high schools and see what it's like firsthand. Yeah.
Jennifer, do you know where the high schools are?
Yeah.
Can you help Jennifer and tell her where she should go?
Kamkina Kuliwainai. And Kailua. What
Kailua,
else?
Wainai.
No, but you should also, like, if you go to the schools that's heavy pigeon, then you should go to the other schools that's not heavy pigeon. Punahou, Iolani, you know, and Waialae.
And compare those?
Yeah. And you'll see the difference.
Okay.
A few miles away, but big difference.
I have a question, Dana. Are your Kamaki people, if they see Jennifer with her microphone, you think they're going to talk different or?
They're going to charge her.
Do you think they're going to talk to Jennifer in Fujian?
Of course.
Yeah. You just got to grab the right people and...
Do you know people there?
Not now.
You think you can help Jennifer find some people? An introduction? Would that be possible? A lot of times people, especially like, I don't know, you know, when you bring the mic, they don't want to say anything.
Oh, try, if you go Kamaki, go to the Hawaiian Studies. There's only one class, which is so sad. But you go to the her little hut that she has, and she teaches peer education and Hawaiian Studies. And her class should have some things
to
say.
Who is that?
Kumukaleo.
Is that your name?
Kaleo Akim is her.
Kaleo Akim?
Kaleo Akim.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Any last thoughts? Comments? What do you think of your teacher? Yeah. Thank you so much for reading, Lee. I thought that was excellent.
You're quite the performer.
Do you read a lot? Do you go and do readings and stuff? Because
yeah.
You have to if you're an author, you know. They expect it of you.
Yeah, go school to school. Yes, I've been to Kamaki School.
I never seen it.
Book signings. Went to Kamaki School. If you name the school, see if you can name the school. I tell you if I've been there. McKinley. Kailua.
Castle. Nope.
I went Kauai. Went Kamaki. Kamehameha.
Kaiser.
That's it. Punahou. Did I do stuff with Punahou? Oh, no, they never asked me. How come Punahou never asked me?
Marano,
Farrington. I did Farrington. Yeah, I did Roosevelt.
Eli
never asked me too. How come? Eli Punahou, what's up?
Kaiser.
Kaiser, no. Okay, not best. I went to like half the schools then. Yeah.
Well,
Well, let's end this with just a round of applause for Mr. Chen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was really cool. Well, okay, everything's off now. You can talk.
You know how they have all the high tech stuff now? This is her voice.
You watch CSI too much.
Yes. I do.
Okay.
So we're done. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Oh, okay. You want us to leave?